Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be looking at the great deliverance of God. As we pick up in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 9. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
You saw the affliction of our fathers in Egypt. You heard their cry by the Red Sea. And you showed signs and wonders upon the Pharaoh and upon all of his servants and upon the people of his land. For you knew that they dealt proudly against them, and so did you get the name as it is this day. So God, you drew out a nation. You began the nation with Abraham, and then the birth of the nation as God brought them out of Egypt to give to them this land. You divided the sea before them, so they went through in the midst of the sea on dry land. Their persecutors you threw into the deeps as a stone into the mighty waters. And then you led them in the day by a cloudy pillar, in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Through the wilderness, the temperatures get up to 110, 120 degrees during the day. So God put a cloud over them in the wilderness wanderings. So that they might travel at night, he put a fiery pillar to give them light at night when they needed to travel through the wilderness. And of course, traveling at night is always preferable to daytime traveling in the wilderness or in the deserts. Then you came down also upon Mount Sinai. You spoke with them from heaven. You gave them right judgments, true laws, good statutes, and commandments. The law of the Lord is perfect, David said, converting the soul. There are a lot of times people, especially Christians, are prone to say, well, I thank God we're not under law, we're under grace. And there is that tendency to sort of put down the law of God. The law of God is good. It is righteous. It is holy. The law of God is the right way to live in your relationship with God and in your relationship with fellow man. This world would be a much better place if everybody lived by the law of God. There's nothing wrong with the law of God. We should seek to keep the law of God. My faith in Jesus Christ does not release me from the necessity of seeking to keep the law of God. The law of God cannot make me perfect. That's where people make a mistake. In seeking to be righteous by the law of God, or to seek to have a righteous standing by keeping the law of God. The law of God cannot make you righteous. Keeping the law of God will not make you righteous. We are made righteous through our faith in Jesus Christ, apart from the works of the law. But by my coming into this relationship with God through Jesus Christ and the subsequent infilling of the Holy Spirit within my life gives me the power to do what I could not do in my flesh, that is, obey the law of God. It's not that God has set aside his law or abrogated the law or has now a whole new standard for us as Christians. The standard of God still is the law. But the power now to keep the law is given to us by the Holy Spirit. But the law still does not make me righteous, nor more righteous. My righteousness is complete because of my faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the law of God was given to show you the good and the right and the acceptable way. The law of God was given to bring you into success, happiness and prosperity, to bring you longevity, to bring you a good, rich life. That's what the law of God is all about. The power to keep it is given to me by the Holy Spirit. So you came down on Mount Sinai. You gave the true law, the good statutes, the right judgments, and the good commandments. You made known unto them the holy Sabbath. Now, I think that we would all be better off if we kept the Sabbath as God intended the Sabbath to be kept. I think there should be one day a week that you just kick back and stay in bed. That's the way God intended the Sabbath to be kept, just a day of complete relaxation and rest. So you gave them this Sabbath. Now, as Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And it is for man. It's for man's benefit. Our body needs that opportunity of regeneration. Our body needs that change of pace, that just relaxing and kicking back. And we'd probably be healthier and live longer if we did it. You commanded them your precepts, your statutes, your law by the hand of Moses, your servant. And then, taking care of the spiritual aspects, you also took care of the physical, because you gave them bread from heaven for their hunger. You brought forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst. You promised them that they should go in and possess the land which you had sworn to give to them, but they and our fathers dealt proudly. They hardened their necks, and they hearkened not to your commandments. Now notice, God was good. God was faithful. He gave them the good commandments. He fed them. And yet they rebelled against God. He is not at all seeking to lay any blame or fault upon God for their problems. It comes upon us. We are the ones. Our fathers are the ones who failed. God, you were faithful. You were righteous. You kept your word. But we failed. And our fathers refused to obey. Neither were they mindful of your wonders that you did among them. But they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion they appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But you are a God that is ready to pardon. You're gracious and merciful. You're slow to anger, of great kindness, and you did not forsake them. Now, they went so far in rebelling against God that at the time that they came to Kadesh Barnea, and the spies came back with a report that the land has giants and the walls are up to heaven and all. And the people said, you know, let's choose a captain who will lead us back to Egypt. You know, we can't go in and take the land. God, yeah, promised the land. We're not able to take it. Let's get someone to lead us back to Egypt. And there was a rebellion against Moses, against God, as they were really just looking for someone to take over the leadership, to take them back into the bondage of Egypt. So our fathers failed, but yet God, you're gracious, you're ready to pardon, you're merciful, you're slow to anger, and all of this was demonstrated by the fact that God didn't forsake them. Yes, even when they made that molten calf and said, this is your God that brought you out of Egypt, and they had wrought great provocations against you. Yet you, in your manifold mercies, did not forsake them there in the wilderness. So God was faithful, they were unfaithful. And there is this acknowledgement, God, all the way along, you were faithful, you were merciful, you were gracious. You didn't forsake them. And the pillar of the cloud departed not from them day by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them the light and the way wherein they should go. You gave them also your good spirit to instruct them. And so the Holy Spirit to instruct, and that's part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You remember Jesus in John 14 said, but the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. The Holy Spirit to instruct, and you gave your good spirit to instruct them. And you did not withhold the manna from their mouth, but you gave them water for their thirst. God, you were good. God, you were faithful. God, you are great. You are awesome. You created the universe. You created a nation. And you were good and faithful, but the nation was not. They rebelled. They turned their backs against your law, against you. But for 40 years, you sustained them in the wilderness so that they lacked nothing. Now, this is such a miraculous feat that the Bible critics try to discount it and say that it really didn't happen. They say it's impossible that that many people could actually make this kind of a trek and be in that wilderness for 40 years. The wilderness will not sustain that many people. Well, I don't doubt that. But God can sustain them. And God did sustain them. It was God who gave them the manna every morning. It was God that gave them water out of the rock. And there is this recognition that God, it was your miraculous power that did it. Moreover, you gave to them the kingdoms and the nations. And you did divide them into the corners so that they possessed the land of Sihon, and the land of the king of Heshbon, the land of Og, the king of Bashan. And their children also multiplied as the stars of heaven. And you brought them into the land concerning which you promised to their fathers that they should go in to possess it. So God, you blessed them, you multiplied them, you brought them into the land. So the children went in, they possessed the land. You subdued before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites. You gave them into their hands with their kings, the people of the land, that they might do to them as they would. And they took the strong cities, the fat land. They possessed houses that were full of goods. You know, they moved into houses that were already furnished. The wells were already dug. The vineyards and the olive yards were already planted. There were fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat, they were filled, they became fat, they delighted themselves in your great goodness. You provided, it was all there. They became fat. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and they rebelled against you. They cast your law behind their backs. They killed the prophets which testified against them that sought to turn them to you. And they wrought great provocations. The theme repeated. God was good. God was faithful. God kept his word. The people failed miserably. And yet, God was merciful. God was gracious. God was forgiving. Therefore, you delivered them into the hands of their enemies who vexed them. In the time of their trouble, when they cried unto you, you heard them from your heavens. And according to your manifold mercies, you brought them saviors who saved them out of the hands of their enemies. God, they turned their back. They had trouble, but when they called, you answered. You were faithful still. But after that they had rest, they did evil again before thee. Therefore, leftest thou them in the hand of their enemies so that they had dominion over them. And yet when they returned and cried unto you, you heard them from heaven. And many times you did deliver them according to your mercies. Over and over and over again, God, you spared them, you helped them, you delivered them because of your mercies. Now, that same God is the God that you and I serve, and he is still a merciful God, and he is still a gracious God, and he is still a pardoning God and a forgiving God. And he knows we need it. How many times we have failed. Now, the thing is, in our failure, the enemy often comes to us and says, hey, that's enough. God is tired of you. He's given up on you. He's not interested in you anymore. You shouldn't even call on him again. You had every chance, every opportunity, and you've just messed up so bad, God doesn't care about you anymore. And that's a lie of the enemy. God knows your frame. He knows you're but dust. He is merciful. He is gracious. He is slow to anger. And he will pardon when we come and ask for his forgiveness. And he will strengthen. And after many years, you bore with them. You testified against them by your spirit in the prophets. Yet they wouldn't listen. Therefore you gave them into the hand of the people of the lands. And nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, you did not utterly destroy them nor forsake them, for you are a gracious and merciful God. Are we reading the Old Testament? You know, I have a problem with these people who say, well, you know, I like the New Testament, the God of love and all. I don't like this God of wrath bit, you know. The Old Testament God I sort of reject, but I sort of lean towards the New Testament God. Hey, we're reading the Old Testament and the testimony concerning God, who though the people failed over and over and over again, he was merciful, he was gracious, he was kind, he did not forsake them. Now therefore, our God, the great, the mighty, the awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy, let not all the troubles seem little before you that have come upon us and on our kings and on our princes and our priests and prophets and our fathers and all the people since the time of the kings of Assyria until now. Howbeit, you are just in all that is brought upon us, for you have done right, but we have done wickedly. Oh, God, help us to come to that realization. We're always ready to blame God when anything goes wrong, when our lives get messed up. We're always ready to turn and blame God as though God is not fair with us. God has not been dealing fairly. But here is the truth, and they're acknowledging that truth. God, you were just. We are wrong. And when we come to that acknowledgement and that confession, then God can do something with us. If I'm always trying to tell God, well, I'm just, and I'm not getting a fair shake, and Lord, you haven't done this and you haven't done that. Wrong. And he's not about to do anything. But when I acknowledge, God, I have failed, I have sinned, it's my fault, not yours. You are just. You are righteous in all that you do. I'm the one, Lord, who has failed. You've done right. We have done wickedly. And neither have our kings or our princes or our priests nor our fathers kept your law, nor hearken unto your commandments and your testimonies that you did testify against them. They just didn't listen. We haven't listened. For they have not served thee in their kingdoms, and in thy great goodness that you gave them, and in the large and fat land which you gave before them, neither turned they from their wicked works. So our history is that of rebellion, even when we established the kings. Now behold, we are servants this day, and for the land that you gave unto our fathers to eat the fruit thereof and the good thereof, behold, we are servants in it. God, we are now in subjection to the king of Persia. We are servants. We are paying tribute and taxes. Though we are living in this land, we're still his servants. And it yields much increase unto the kings who you have set over us. You see, the abundance and fruit goes now to these kings of Persia that are over us because of our sins. Also, they have dominion over our bodies, over our cattle, at their pleasure. We are in great distress. And because of all of this, we make a sure covenant. We write it down. Our princes and Levites and priests attest or seal it. God, because of all of this, we want to make a covenant. We're going to serve you. We're going to be your people. Oh, great, great, great day. The result of the reading of the law and the giving of the understanding, it is the work of the Word of God in the hearts of the people that wrought these changes. That's why we just go through the Word of God. Jesus said, "Now you are clean through the words that I have spoken unto you." David said, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed to the word of God." And that power of the word of God to bring us the conviction of our sins, to help us to get life in a true perspective. God is faithful. God is good. God has blessed. We have failed. We have turned our backs. We have been guilty. And if I'm having any problems, it's because I haven't followed totally after the Lord.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse venture through the book of Nehemiah in our next lesson, as we follow the opposition through compromise, as Pastor Chuck takes us back to chapter 6. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of Nehemiah. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord be with you, watch over and keep you. May this be a week of discovery, your personal discovery of the greatness of God. May He reveal Himself to you in many ways that you might see His glory, His power, His love.
Have you ever had a friend who's not a believer and they ask you a question about the Bible and you're thrilled? Finally, they want to know more about God. But then you go blank because you can't remember the scripture that would answer their very question. You're not alone. It happens to me all the time. And I think if I only had a quick scripture reference that could help me right then and right there, that would be perfect. Well, guess what I found? Pastor Chuck's Old and New Testament study guides are available to download as ebooks instantly to your phone or mobile device. Now, whenever you need to find the meaning to a scripture reference quickly, you can. Pastor Chuck has written great little Bible commentaries to help anyone come to a better understanding of God's Word. To find out more and to read a book preview, visit thewordfortoday.org and click on the link to download the Old and New Testament study guides by Chuck Smith. Or, if you would like to order these books in print, call The Word for Today at 800-272-WORD. That's 800-272-9673.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.